For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the list in your boy at Fightful.com. With Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp, they're on fire. Boom shakalaka.
200 strong.
What's up, you guys? Jimmy, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Your face is down off the camera. What are you doing? I'm gonna get feedback here, Jimmy, with this helicopter microphone.
That's what I look like. It's what I sound like. Yeah,
your audio sounds like dog shit per usual. Guys, I'm getting feedback. Hook up the other goddamn mic, Jimmy. We are live. It is listen, you boy. I am going to mute Jimmy because his equipment sucks. You're about to hear him only in his right ear. I have him muted. He's going to keep talking. Until then, yeah, we're live. Listen, you boy. Fightful. Man, there's so much to talk about today. And Jimmy, why are you unmuting yourself? My God, here, this is what we go on the air for. Right here, this is what we go on the air for. A bunch of technical errors. You love to see it. Professional, best newsbreakers in the biz right here. Fightful.com. Well, we're talking about Mandy Rose. We're talking about Sasha Banks. We're talking about Vince McMahon. All kinds of stuff here. Please leave a thumbs up. We would greatly appreciate it. All of you tech experts in the comments, we do not need your advice. It ain't going to work. You're about to hear Jimmy on a handheld mic through one ear. It's a good time. Jimmy, what are you doing? We're figuring this out on the air.
Is this what try that. How's the...
What? That sounds horrible. Unhook that. Hook up the other mic. For the love of God, I'm sick of it. It's listening, you boy. And we've got a lot to talk about. Today, we broke news. Somebody says he looks like he's about to give a traffic update from Eye in the Sky. He sounds like it. He sounds like he's ordering at a Burger King. Jimmy Van's like, no pickles. Oh, boy. What are we doing here? This is it. This is professional. Let's hear it. Let's hear it, Jimmy. What do we got? Look, now you just hear him clicking and clacking. My God. My God, Jimmy about to get kicked off the stream. Guys, leave a thumbs up. Donate super chats. Donate humper chats. I know this is the professional setup that you guys come to expect. I'm here. I've got good equipment. I've got display cases in the background now. It looks great. Jimmy Van's over here in a helicopter, like wading his way through the fog to let you guys know what the traffic updates are in Toronto right now. Here's a spoiler. There's construction. That much I guarantee. But today, we broke news on Fightful Select. And of course, with the nature of these things, that Mandy Rose has been released from her WWE deal. Now, I just want to make this clear right out of the gate. We can only report what we know. And there's a lot of assumptions and jumping to conclusions and a lot of things like that. And I'm going to read to you guys what we reported on FightfulSelect.com as Jimmy goes through his third microphone.
This is so stupid. Is this any better?
No.
Still shitty?
Oh my God. No, Jimmy. You sound like you're broadcasting from the Campbell soup can that Andy Warhol painted. What are we doing here? Come on. This is one of the biggest news stories in like a month. And I can't even get this thing fired off. How can this is a serious subject, a serious topic. Oh, Jesus Christ, guys. Jimmy Van turned into an astronaut. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, listen, I'm gonna do my best. as Jimmy Van. I'm going to remove him from this entire thing while he sets us up. Okay. Jesus Christ, guys. Fightful Select learned that Mandy Rose was released by WWE. I found out this afternoon. This was an abrupt decision. It was an abrupt decision. And last night, right before NXT, we had learned, and I posted a little GIF, that Mandy Rose is going to drop the title. Later on FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, please subscribe. We had reported that she was dropping the title to Roxanne Perez in that abrupt decision. And then this morning, we were told not only did she drop the title, she is released from the company. And as of now, ain't coming back. I was able to gain some significant context from WWE. They felt like the explicit nature of her content exceeded the parameters of her WWE deal. Now, I want to make this clear. I don't know if this was completely WWE's side, if it was Mandy Rose asking for a release, or some sort of collaborative decision, but I was told that Mandy Rose did not seem interested in ceasing posting. Now, for those of you who are interested in what she was posting, there was some implied sexual activity. There were a lot of things like that. If you really want to see what she's posting, guess what? You can go to her website and subscribe. There is a lot of information that is sort of being disseminated in perhaps an unfair way about this, because Mandy Rose, in my opinion, this is just completely my opinion, I have no problem with anybody monetizing their body in any way that they deem fit, as long as it is legal, consensual, doesn't hurt anybody else. And that's what Mandy Rose was doing. However, I have not seen WWE's contracts. I have not seen what are listed in them, what they can and can't do. And considering the fact that a lot of the third-party deals were completely taken off the table a couple of years ago before they were brought back earlier this year, we don't necessarily know the nature of what it is that she is permitted to do and not to do in that. Now, what you can also say is she is an independent contractor. She should be able to do whatever the hell she wants to do. And I certainly sympathize with that and understand and believe that as well. It's one of those unique situations where you look at this and you go, okay, well, is she really an independent contractor then? But you also look at WWE's side of things, and specifically, I know Backup Hangman posted this, and it's something I had heard as well. It was a situation where WWE felt like some of their third-party agreements, especially some very, very lucrative ones, were compromised by the nature of the content that she was posting. Whereas there are some other people that have these exclusive content sites that aren't posting as explicit or implied explicit stuff that might not cost them that. Because while Mandy Rose was a valued member of that roster and was making good money there as well, they also have far more lucrative deals that they do have to sort of adjust and look at and sort of brand their content around as well. Jimmy Van is still working on getting his stuff going right now. But Quote the Raven says, is Jimmy Van? Wow, that's a big no. Whatever was just going on is a big no, Jimmy. Quote the Raven says, remember when women were encouraged to dress like Mandy? Plus, where is this site? I can't find a single link anywhere. You sound like the guy on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. My DMs today are full of people like, naked pictures? That's horrible. Where? What's the link? What's the URL? Do your own research. Support what she does if you wish to do so. I can tell you that from a personal perspective. Like tons of our moderators have OnlyFans, Brand Army, and the like. One of our primary sponsors last year, Destiny FOMO, sponsored us to largely push her page. We definitely support that, and people making money any way that they can, again, in a safe, consensual, legal way. And we will always support stuff like that. However, I don't know that it's necessarily as cut and dry with WWE. They do have, if Mattel hit them up and said, we can't have this, and then Mandy Rose says, well, I ain't stopping. well, then the relationship is going to dissolve. I can tell you that at least one former WWE talent did let us know via representation that this year they beat their best WWE year with their exclusive content page. So this is also a thing. If you're an AEW, if you are an Impact Wrestling, if you're a WWE, the level in which you are willing to allow this, if at all, will be a major negotiation tactic as well. Because for some of these people, that it's not just women. I mean, there are plenty of male wrestling performers who have these types of sites as well. They're going to look at that and they say, well, I get to use this platform to promote what I'm doing elsewhere. WWE, Impact, AEW might not have to pay nearly as much in order to make that happen, in order to make that money match up. There are an awful lot of angles on this to where you can use this for positive and negative negotiation. Still sounds horrible for Jimmy Van. We'll continue to check in on him up in the sky. Jimmy, how is the traffic in Toronto?
That's cute.
K775 says, is this a content issue and not a third party issue? Is that correct? WWE has relaxed rules on third parties. Yes, they have relaxed rules on third parties. By the way, get in your super chats and humper chats, perhaps appropriately named humper chats at humperchats.com. It's both. They were not comfortable with the content specifically, and they also feared what it would do for third parties as well. Caden says, on my way to Dynamite, should be fun. Jimmy, fix your mic. I'm sure that will earn tons of brownie points with him, Caden, as you look to advance in your career. Dap2Extreme says, Mandy being fired feels like a punishment doesn't fit the crime situation when others abuse drugs, alcohol, and are still employed. Well, I'm not trying to pass judgment on anybody who does that, and certainly don't want to pass judgment on anybody who has that sort of content as well, but again, we're still accumulating information. Mandy did send a message to her subscribers today that said, hey guys, thanks for all the messages. Overwhelmed with all the love and support from you guys. Don't worry, the page is still up. I'll tell you guys one thing. Mandy Rose next year, as this is a hunch, I guarantee she's going to make more money than she was making in WWE. What we just saw was a gigantic commercial for this, which... Somebody hit me up and said, your anonymous source also wants to share the subscription they have for $12 per month now. She is now charging $30 for subscriptions. And she's going to have a hell of a lot more subscriptions today than she had tomorrow. There you go. CM says, we're not going to get a Mandy Rose let down NXT line from commentary next week, right? I hope not. I hope not as well. I absolutely hope not, because... personal decision, I don't see a problem with it. If that's the route that she wants to go with her career and does not want to cease posting that stuff, there you go. Javier says, do you think they'd bring her back kind of like they did with Brian in 2010? I mean, sort of like what they did with Zelina too. I mean, Zelina's third party stuff was a point of contention for WWE, albeit far different circumstances than what Mandy Rose is doing, but she eventually came back as well. But yeah, I think eventually she'll be back. Miguel says, if Sasha isn't the partner for Saraya, do you think Mandy is the backup? No, I don't think it'll be Mandy at all. With the release, who do you think would have made that decision? Ultimately, Triple H, Nick Khan, Stephanie McMahon. I'll tell you what, and it seemed as if, I can tell you this, I know that Mandy had indicated to some people that she would get in trouble possibly if the nature of the content was put out there to an extended degree, but also she had to expect that was coming. It wasn't going to stay under wraps. Although this much I guarantee, if Johnny Ace was still working there, WWE would have been smartened up to it a long time ago. Because I'm pretty sure he would have been clued in. Ray says, with 10K subs and select, you would think that Jimmy could afford better audio equipment than that soup can string. We are down to 8,200, man. Christmas time hits hard. So subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, because right after this, I'm going to have news on Kevin Owens pitching a match to Shawn Michaels right directly to him. There was he told this story on a French podcast, and I was able to get a lot more information on it and what it took to get Shawn Michaels out of retirement for the Crown Jewel match, which is actually a Jimmy Van scoop. Max Collection says, with the release, who do you think? Oh, just read that one. My bad. Johan Benson says, how the hell do they present Toxic Attraction the way they did, then fire Mandy for her own choices? Well, I mean, again, I think ultimately, personally, I think it comes down to third-party agreements, specifically the Mattel one that Backup Hangman brought up. If you have toy makers, which is a significant piece of revenue, saying, hey, we do not approve of this, then you're probably gonna do what they say. Ella says, Jimmy is broadcasting to us via space satellite. Phil the Legend says, what do you think GG and JC do now? Call up. I hope so. JC, I mean, every time I see her on SmackDown, I'm like, my God, like the facial reactions. Like, she is so ready from that perspective. And GG so ready on all perspectives. And they need more tag teams. I think that they should be called up. And I think Indy should be called up. And honestly, I think they should also probably just go ahead and get Indy Hartwell up as well. Let me change my frame here. There we go. I don't know if Jimmy's coming back anytime soon. So we'll see what we got going on here. Chi-Town Spurs says, wild to me that two DX members just let a talent go for posting explicit content. I don't know if it's fair to put Shawn Michaels in there. I don't know that that was necessarily the case, but Mr. CJ Lilly says, if this was known yesterday, the way that she went out, she did it like a pro. If she decided to put down the images, she'll be back very soon. Yeah, I mean, I've always heard that she's a pro. I always heard that she handled her business accordingly. And yeah, I heard that she was very easy to deal with here. And look at the moment that was created for Roxanne Perez as well. Ultimately, here's what you look at. Mandy Rose is about to make a lot more money, way more money than she's ever made in her life. Roxanne Perez started the year ROH champion, ended it NXT champion. Financially, there are no losers here. WWE is the financial loser here. But also, they probably saved a partnership by doing this. Not that I necessarily agree with it, but again, if it was Mattel, are you going to pass up a toy deal? Probably not. And Mandy gets a giant online billboard for her exclusive content site. Ryan says, was Mandy warned to stop posting that stuff before she got let go? I don't know if she was warned, but I was told that she didn't have any interest in taking that down. We're going to see if Jimmy Van. Hello, Jimmy.
Is it still on one side?
Oh, my God, it's fixed. Jimmy Van is fixed. So here's the scoop, guys. Jimmy was using this handheld mic, Meltzer style. Bless.
What I was going for, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And I could only hear him out of my right ear. And I was not willing to let that fly for our audio listeners, because I only the best for you guys, right? And then we got that opening 5 minutes that is the biggest train wreck of 5 minutes. Well, maybe not. We had a lot of stuff on like Wirecast back in the day that was a tragedy.
This is what happens when I work with people that aren't helpful, Sean. This is what happens. When I want to try to set things up early and make sure the mixer works, and I think we didn't come on to like 2:55, and then the shit hit the fan. This is what happens. So I basically have a brand new Shure mic. You guys have seen it on a little stand.
Yes.
That cost me a lot of money. And after like 2 months, the thing just completely fell to shit, and I had to send it in because tech support couldn't fix it. So I got this thing for backup. I was told by Joel Pearl, get a mixer because the USB is shit. So get a mixer, get all that.
Yeah, you didn't get a Rodecast. I did. It's very cool.
That's nice. But I'm new to all this stuff, and no one could help me. So, yeah. What a great afternoon. Great afternoon, Sean.
Well, I just said, I talked about 15, 16, 17 minutes about Mandy Rose. We have a ton of super chats about this. And listen, guys, we always encourage you to support people who make their money with their body in a legal, consensual, safe way. But listen, sometimes you might need a little more motivation. And today's sponsor is Blue Chew. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is. .com. Listen, support those people and support yourself. How? With a big, strong, long-lasting erection. Thanks to BlueChew.com. BlueChew brings you the first chewable that has the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know they work, but they work on your schedule. Or when it's not on your schedule, maybe you're having a little bit of trouble. Maybe you're having trouble with that confidence. Well, BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL has you covered. You take their online questionnaire with their online physicians, and if approved, it arrives to your door discreetly. But there will be nothing discreet about your package, if you know what I'm saying. What are we doing here, Jimmy? Being your first shipment free when you use the code FIGHTFUL at BlueChew.com. Just pay $5 shipping. And buddy, you are in for some good times when you use BlueChew and the code FIGHTFUL. How could you pass it up? Free? Free? My God, you can't get anything for free these days. You can get BlueChew, get a big fat boner thanks to BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Support these wonderful people and support yourself. Jimmy.
So I guess Mandy Rose is covered now.
I mean, if you want to share your thoughts about it, that'd be fine. But I mean, we've got a significant number of super chats and humper chats.
All about Mandy Rose?
I'm at least happy that they made her put over Roxanne Perez without just relinquishing the title and get released. Well, I see Mandy Rose as a pro. I don't think she would just walk out. I've never heard anything like that. I've heard nothing but good things about her professionally. Jay Kranitz says, basically she got caught something she knew she'd get fired for. Seemed pretty cut and dry. She's making more money. God bless her. She absolutely knew that she would get in some trouble if the nature of it was very, very public. Yes. Jonathan Coronis says 2022 has been a crazy for wrestling fans. First CM Punk wants to move on from AEW. Then Vince wants to come back. Now Mandy Rose gets released. Damn, that's crazy. Buddy, we haven't even scratched the surface on the other things either. Like man, just a ton of stuff there. Mr. Showtime says, do you think they plug in a replacement for Mandy and Toxic on the main roster or just have them as a duo? I think they should have them as a duo, Jimmy. I think that she was too integral a part of the roster. It's like everybody that was saying replace Swerve and Hit Row. I disagree. I don't think there's a replacing Swerve and Hit Row. I don't think there's a replacing Mandy Rose in Toxic Attraction.
No, they'll come up as a tag team, and they're going to miss her because Mandy Rose was a really great element to that group, but they're going to come up together. And I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I don't want to spend too much time because you've already covered it. The only thing I will say on Mandy Rose is I see both sides. Like, I understand both sides of this because from Mandy Rose's perspective, and you probably already covered it, what she was doing was behind a paywall. And I understand it was explicit content, but it was behind a paywall. WWE has softened their stance, you know, in recent times about third-party platforms like Twitch. Granted, this was not Twitch, but it was behind a paywall. And in the past, WWE was very open about promoting Playboy spreads sure. on the show. But it's a different era. And so I get all that. I understand Mandy Rose's mentality as far as why she wanted to do it. And I understand WWE's perspective, because if they let this go, now you set a precedence. How many other people on the roster might think, well, I'd like to make extra money doing that too? And that's when you run into a problem with potentially your television partners and your advertisers, and that could be an issue. I don't know anything about the terms of her contract, or there was language in there specifically preventing her from doing that. If there was, she's in breach. Sure. The main thing I'd like to know is, was there a conversation between WWE and Mandy Rose trying to find middle ground? Or what is it? Was it a situation where WWE said, you can't do that? And she said, well, I'm doing it. And so that was it.
Well, from what I haven't been told about a personal conversation. And I'll work to find out more on that. But by the way, any additional information we get will be on FightfulSelect.com. We've already updated it tons. We'll have a lot on her contract and things like that, and the decision itself. It's just, I'm working to find out more on that. Mr. CJ Lilly says, guys, cards on the table. Why are wrestling fans turning off both shows? Is it the lack of over-the-top characters like Bray, Alexa, Undertaker? Is it too many bangers, not enough fun, too much realism? Well, Mondays, it's because of Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football is a juggernaut. I don't have an answer for Wednesdays, but I think that this is, honestly, it's traditionally a slow time in wrestling. I can tell you it's a slow time for us on Fightful Select. Like, we've had a serious decline on that stuff and on numbers in general. And then it'll pick up around January.
I think it's more than just football.
Sure.
Because, like, our three on Monday did, like, 1.388 million viewers, which is just not good. It's not a good number. And they've had football as competition for, like, 30 years. I understand, like, as time's gone on and cord cutters and people are consuming content differently, and that does make a difference. But at the same time, I feel like, and I was going to talk about this later, but I feel like wrestling is in a lull right now. Like, I feel like in terms of the creative content, with the exception of the Bloodline and maybe MJF as champion, nothing else is hitting. Like nothing else is really capturing the attention of the television audience. And do you want to talk about the WrestleVotes report?
We'll get there. We'll get there. Okay. I'm working on that one though. There's a lot to that, so I can't really jump into that because I've had some conflicting stuff that has come out. So I don't want to make that like a huge point of conversation on this show. Cameron says, is this the end of her online work with Sonya? Can you find out? I'd be shocked if they stopped doing like Demandy's Donuts or anything like that. KE775 says, sorry, I mistyped my $10 super chat. Did you see sponsors threatening to pull out of business with WWE if Vince tries to come back? I thought this was about Mandy. I will address this shortly on there. But man, we got so much stuff that we have to get into. John says, I'll donate every time Jimmy comes back with that helicopter mic. Dead.
Done. Where is it?
Caden says, congrats, Jimmy. So let's talk about the Vince thing because we got a couple super chats about that as well. Vince McMahon has said that or told people, according to the Wall Street Journal, that he wants to come back. And then as that happens, Jimmy, well, shortly after he's telling people close to him, a story gets leaked to the Wall Street Journal that he's got more issues. Now, it was funny. I did see people that are like, why didn't wrestling journalists get this? If you think it's an accident that Wall Street Journal got any of these stories, they got leaked to them, obviously, because they know the reach of Wall Street Journal and the nature of this. And there are plenty of people, as we had reported on Select, they don't want Vince back, Jimmy. Nobody wants him back anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they have to worry about it anytime soon. So let me say first, the Vice documentary, lazy, disappointing. I was
fired.
Yeah, I was looking forward to watching a 2-hour documentary about Vince McMahon. It was all rehashed Dark Side of the Ring canned footage. Very disappointing, very lazy. Okay, let me ask you this. So Vince McMahon, he retires in July, right? Mm-hmm. When you really think about it, what were the reasons that Vince retired in July? Like, what do you think it was that made him decide in July, especially when 2 weeks earlier he had so boldly come out on TV when the allegations hit and kind of made it clear he was going to stick around? What do you think the reasons were that he suddenly decided to retire in July?
I certainly don't think it was because of bad advice from people close to him.
I think it was, and there could have been a lot of reasons, but I think two of them. I think one of them was family. I think that people close to him probably thought, because you got to understand, they knew more than what was public, right? Yes. So like the people close to Vince knew more about what was going on and about the allegations potentially yet to come that wasn't yet public. So I think his family probably wanted him to take a step back under the circumstances. I also think that he did it for the health and well-being of the company because they were looking to potentially try to set up the company for a sale. And given those allegations at that time, think about what could have happened. There could have been a full-on SEC investigation, could have been a criminal investigation potentially, could have caused the whole board of directors to resign, could have caused the stock to tumble, which would have a great impact on company valuation. Then not to mention, you got your TV partners, you got your advertisers, you got talent morale. There was a lot at stake. And that's why I think Vince decided at that time that he better take a step back. Well, if you fast forward to now, mid-December, what's changed? Nothing's changed, right? I imagine that his family still doesn't want him around, especially in a creative capacity, right?
Stock's increased. Interest in the show has increased. Morale has improved backstage. Things are objectively better financially and professionally without him around.
Right. New allegations surfaced. Yeah. Rita Chatterton wants a settlement. I think it was over $11 million. If Vince were to return in any kind of executive capacity, then maybe the SEC investigation reopens. Maybe the whole board decides to resign. And you know what? Maybe Vince wouldn't care if the board resigned, but that would definitely lead to corporate uncertainty, which could lead to people selling their stock, which is then going to impact their market cap. Like, I don't see him returning. It's one thing if Vince wants to. I don't see it happening, not in an executive capacity. If he does, I think that things are going to unravel really, really fast, but I don't see it happening. And the one thing that I wanted to explain, because a lot of people were asking on Twitter, well, he's got the majority of voting rights, so can he not just kind of inject himself back in? And the question is, no, it's not that simple. So if he wants to be chairman, which he was before, you got to be elected by the board of directors. That's how you become chairman. The majority has to vote you in. The current board was chosen by Vince, and so people might think, oh, he's a shoo-in. Right.
But yeah, not so much.
Wasn't it at least one member of the board who anonymously leaked the Wall Street Journal story to begin with?
That's the word. And I mean, that's the thing. Like, all due respect to Wall Street Journal, obviously amazing. They ain't out here hunting down Vince scoops all autumn long. It is somebody in the company who does not want Vince back, who is like, you ain't coming back. And this is why you ain't coming back. And KE775 brings up a good question. Question on Vince. If he tried to come back, could you see Fox and NBCU, among other sponsors, giving WWE an ultimatum? Can't imagine companies want to deal with him. I mean, I could see that absolutely harming rights fee deals.
Oh, everything. Everything. Yeah. Because again, I don't think the current board's going to bring him in anyway. He would have to wait for the next round of board elections. Then he would have to, because he does have a majority of the voting rights. So he'd have to wait for the next round of board elections. Then he would have to vote in a new board and then hope that the new board would elect him as chairman. Mm-hmm. I still don't know if that would happen because the board members are stockholders, probably. And so do they want to potentially impact the stock and impact the company valuation? It's easier said than done. And in terms of the whole head of creative thing, he's got to be hired by a top executive to be the head of creative. So I don't think anything's going to happen. It's one thing for him to want to. I think it's another thing for it to actually take place. And and if he did somehow magically, you know, end up as chairman again, I think that for sure the networks aren't going to like it, especially when they have seen a positive, you know, upward trajectory. They've heard talent morale is better. There's a lot of reasons why I just don't think it's going to happen. Him wanting to do it, him doing it are two different things.
There was a higher up that gave me a pretty interesting quote yesterday. They said it would be a very selfish thing for him to do to come back. And then as I was on the phone with them, they like pause and they're like, but then again, selfish behavior is why we're here in the first place. That's why he's gone. So man, there's so much there. We have a bunch of super chats, bunch of humper chats. Boldy McGuire says, completely unrelated, whatever happened to Roderick Strong? I'm working to find out. I asked them if he's still with the company, and they didn't give me an update on it. Gary Coxhead sent a bunch of humper chats. Says, shout out to the content from Sean. Had COVID twice, and it's awful. Sean's jumped back on this and jumped right back in. Hats off. I'm very happy to be off prednisone now. I'm doing a little bit better. Going to get some stuff taken care of, but I appreciate the kind words. Gary Coxhead also says, not watching due to the World Cup. Heard the name John Alba for years, but only watched Wrestle Talk. Then you hadn't seen him up until recently. Could we have an interview with him on Sean with Sean with everything he's done around wrestling? I'm sure me and John will be doing like just a single show here and there. I'm actually on Strictly Business with Eric Bischoff. I filmed yesterday with John Alba and Eric Bischoff, but I'm sure we'll do something like that. We love working with John. Gary also says, oh yeah, shout out to Robert. Hope everything is well with him. He's not on screen anymore. Seems like a great lad. Wish him well. Robert is a great lad. He does great work, and we're lucky to have him. He does some fill-in stuff for us as well. We've also got Darren Walker saying, any news on when Mickie James' contract expires? Her and Nick Aldis as a package would be great for WWE or AEW. I've been under the impression that she's never been under a full-time contract to Impact, NWA, or elsewhere, as far as I know. I could be wrong, but I mean, that's at least what I had always heard. Tony says, wishing Mandy all the best. This has me thinking about the end of Raw with Bobby and Adam's tweet yesterday, taking it back. Do you think they did a 180 on the story because of what they knew they were about to do with Mandy and it would be a bad look? Ooh, that's something I hadn't really considered whatsoever.
It's possible.
I mean, they've done that in the past, right? To me, it just calls more attention to it, kind of, if you do that. It's the old, today it's in the news, tomorrow they're wrapping dead fish with it quote. Like,
you Vince, love that line, don't you?
Yeah, I do. You should grin about it more, as if Mariah Carey didn't say it.
I told you Mariah Carey said it. Yeah.
But Will Washington did. Anyway, I you know, that's something I hadn't considered, but I'm going to ask about that. Mr. CJ Lilly says, if Vince returns, it'll kill WWE. They'll be done. I had somebody in WWE reference the Lethal Dose of Poison promo. They're like, is he just sitting at home cutting that promo? I was like, yeah, that's cute. Jay Lou says, this is for whatever show is at 3 Eastern, since Jimmy doesn't come to work anymore. The Mandy situation is unfortunate because WWE labels performers as independent contractors, but treats them as employees, including limiting outside ventures. It's wrong. So, I mean, okay, Jimmy, like, if we got somebody on staff, if they want to do something like that, I don't have a damn problem with it. If NordVPN came to me and they're like, well, we got to pull our sponsorship due to this, I would have to have a conversation with that person and say, hey, listen, we're paying you to do this. Is there an agreement we can come to? I believe WWE probably did that. I believe that they probably went to her and said, we've got to come to some sort of agreement. Now, granted, what Fightful is cool with and what WWE are cool with are way, way different. And the sponsors that we are dealing with aren't given the type of money that Mattel is giving WWE to where it can justify us being like, okay, which is worth more than the other. Mattel is very clearly more valuable to WWE than Mandy Rose, I think.
Yeah, and when you consider that they invested a year of television into her as NXT champion, and there's money in that, I agree. You think that there was a conversation. I don't think it's a situation where they heard that she had some content leaked and thought, oh, that's it, we're done with her. There must have been, because they invested so much into her time and money for them to just turn around and make that decision.
Tony says, or actually, we just read that one. Gary says, Mandy's an interesting one because you think that she would have had warnings to get the point as an odd one. Are the pictures, videos nude? You would think otherwise. There was some implied sexual activity. I don't know about the degree of nudity or anything like that, but there was some implied sexual activity that WWE wasn't happy with. Mech says, Mandy did say WWE was aware of what she was doing, so why did it take this long for them to say something? I feel like over the past few days, it was discussed much more. It was certainly discussed more backstage. It was certainly discussed more publicly on at least my timeline that I saw as well.
Well, wasn't there recently a leak? That was probably the catalyst.
I just assume all that stuff gets leaked. I mean, yeah. Fightful Select gets leaked all the time. Mandy Rose is going to get leaked. We got Nicholas saying, I wonder if you could get people's perspective in WWE of Mandy getting released. Based on the people that I spoke to, first off, they were still shocked. People were still very, very surprised about that stuff. But it is one of those things where they're surprised, but also they're like, well, they had to know it was coming type of thing. So Tony says, wishing Mandy all the best. I read that one. By God, I need a moderator on here. But Vincent says, with the news of Brock Gunther being planned for Mania, does Brock Bobby 3 happen at Rumble? Yeah, I do think it happens at Rumble. I have not confirmed that Brock and Gunther is happening at Mania at all. I think it's far more likely to happen under Triple H than it was. But what are you thinking about this Brock Gunther news?
Yeah, that's actually something that I was going to ask you about today on the list. I mean, that would be a hell of a matchup. We don't see a lot of, you know, top level fresh matchups as much as we used to. And that would be a very physical match. Imagine how red both guys would be coming out of that one. It would also be a good showcase for Gunther, because I don't imagine Brock's going in there to win. I don't think he cares.
Sure.
So it could be a good showcase matchup for Gunther too. So I'd be all for it. It's a way of taking an established guy and giving a rub to a new guy that maybe the casuals aren't necessarily familiar with. So I'd be interested in it. Do you want to talk about other Mania rumor now, or do you want to
have at it? Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. So Brock and Gunther was one of the things I was going to ask you about in terms of WrestleMania rumors, because the reports that Hunter has the top matches set for WrestleMania. And one of the rumored ones is Lesnar and Gunther. So I was going to ask you what you'd heard about that one. Another one is John Cena. So he is confirmed for SmackDown on December 30th in Tampa, Florida. And that has led to speculation that there are plans for him, not only for Mania, but with the Royal Rumble. And so I was going to ask your thoughts on Cena potentially appearing at the Rumble, maybe to lead to a Mania program.
I would love that, but I think that he's got a filming schedule coming up. I just assume that John Cena, like, I never believe that he'll work an actual program until I see it happening, because we got catfished into that this summer, right? Like, we thought that he was going to work something leading into SummerSlam.
Right.
And they have established that they don't need John Cena at WrestleMania anymore. They would like to have him. I know that there are some big names that want to face John Cena. Obviously, why wouldn't they? But Logan Paul wants to face him. I had heard people close to Cody that wanted to push that to happen. I think there are bigger plans for Cody now. But I wouldn't be surprised, but also I think it's just a way, until I see or get information that there will actually be a program, I'll just assume that it is a quick ratings grab, which is funny because they have criminally misused John Cena when they've had him around. They should have had him during the pandemic. They should have had him film like 8 weeks worth of content while he was there, and they didn't do it. So that, now granted, that's a different regime. Maybe this one will be more competent. We have yet to see this regime and how they might use a John Cena.
Yeah, and I think he lives in Tampa, and December 30 is like right before the New Year, so I imagine he's available. And so I agree. It could just be a matter of he's home, and so why not use him when we're going to be in town? Kind of makes sense. There are also reports that WWE is considering having Roman Reigns work both nights of WrestleMania. And, of course, everybody's assuming or predicting Cody Rhodes one night, The Rock the other night. Have you heard anything at all about that?
No. I've heard that was just like a casual pitch, and it wasn't like, as of now, it's not like on the books or anything like that. That's just one of those things. When it gets mentioned, it just, you know, it spreads like wildfire. But I haven't heard anything like really consistent or serious about that as of yet. We got Meat Norma saying, after the Mandy release, Mustafa Ali needs to post pictures wearing just one sock, not on his foot. Get that release and dream match through AEW and Indies. Happy holidays. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
They meant like a cobra, like Santino. That's what they mean.
Yeah, that's exactly what they meant. By the way, check out our interview with Santino on youtube.com/Fightful. We would greatly appreciate that. FightfulSelect.com, right after the list and your boy, we had the list goes on, and we'll be concurrently talking about it and publishing a story. Today, I had mentioned that Kevin Owens, on a French language podcast, had said that he'd pitched a match to Shawn Michaels, to face Shawn Michaels. I got a ton of additional information about that. So there's going to be a good story on that afterwards. We have interview notes from Dan the Dad, who went viral. Did you see his viral clip, Jimmy?
No.
Where he flipped Toa Leona's nose and everybody popped for it at AEW.
Yes, I did see that. Yes.
He'll be on the spotlight. This week, we have an interview with Willow Nightingale on Friday, the guys at Grapsody. We've got more interviews than ever. Saturday or Sunday, Wrestling Perspective podcast is interviewing Bobby Fish. We're getting so much on the record stuff. FightfulSelect.com. And of course, this week I'll have a Q&A as well. What else you got, Jimmy?
All right, Sasha Banks. I guess we should call her Mercedes Varnado.
I'm going to have more news on that on FightfulSelect.com this week, too.
There you go. Or maybe Mercedes Moné. So Mike Johnson was the first to report that she was booked for Wrestle Kingdom with New Japan on January 4th. Dave Meltzer added that the booking is not through WWE and that she's not scheduled to wrestle on the show at Wrestle Kingdom, but she has agreed to additional dates. Meltzer says things could change, but right now she looks to be done with WWE. So I wanted to ask you first, what are you hearing about Sasha Banks, Mercedes, Moné, whatever?
I'm hearing that's about right. Again, I am putting some final touches on a report that I will have up on Thursday regarding additional information that I've heard about Sasha, Naomi, New Japan, AEW, WWE, contract stuff, all that good deal. I'm working on getting that finalized. I should have it up Thursday, FightfulSelect.com. But, I mean, this is a big deal. This is a big thing. Whoever wins the Sasha sweepstakes wins big. And I had one person say, man, I can't imagine AEW paying Sasha X amount of money. And I said, I can. I certainly can. And when you want to talk about, well, where do you put her? Well, I can tell you where I'd want to put her. First match in LA, teaming against the person whose career it looked like she ended. They hug at the end of the match. Who also, that woman happens to be the biggest name in your women's division. And who are you across the ring from? Your biggest women's homegrown star and your current champion. So it is four, arguably, including Jade, your four biggest, most important names in that women's division. And you get that audience. So if she pops up at Wrestle Kingdom, well, the next week, all the buzz is going to be, is it Sasha? Is it Sasha? And people are going to tune in as a result of that, unless you just outright announce it or something like that. So I don't think that they do this thing where they advertise something a month ahead of time in LA with three of the biggest names in their division on accident, Jimmy. I think it's very deliberate. I can't fully report that as of right now, but people who are usually very happy to tell me when I am not right about things like that, when I would fish, they wouldn't tell me anything. They wouldn't say no about that. So that's what I think is happening. I mean, that, again, a hunch, not a report.
I mean, Tony's bragged about, you know, how much money, you know, the family has and sure. Everything. So obviously he has no problem spending it. I guess the only thing you had to consider is precedence. Like if Meltzer was saying that she's asking for a big sum of money. And so I guess you have to maybe be concerned about precedence, or maybe Tony Khan doesn't give a shit because he's going to do what he's going to do. But I agree with you. Like if she is going to be the mystery partner on January 11, then just ride it out right till January 11. If she's not going to be the mystery partner, then I think much like what WWE did with Becky Lynch, you might want to announce it on TV a week in advance. But because otherwise people are going to think it's her. But if you got her lined up, then you wait till January 11 and you get that big pop. So, yeah, I agree. That's that'd be an interesting situation for them.
Guys, a reminder, leave a thumbs up on this video. The sick minds of Matt and Eric say, hey, Sean, do you think Raw will go back to 2 hours? If so, what time slot, 8 to 10 or 9 to 11? If they ever did, I believe it would be 8 to 10 because those are the biggest hours for them. But no, I don't think so, because USA makes way too much money off of advertising that third hour, which while to a lot of wrestling fans looks like it is minimized and very small numbers, it is far bigger than whatever Modern Family reruns that they were going to air right there.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's the ad revenue, because WWE typically it's a low ad rate. But if you take that third hour out, USA's weekly average in terms of their viewership plummets even further. They need WWE badly. So I don't see that happening at all.
A person who is pretending to be an absolute clown on their YouTube name here says, Mandy got fired because she was profiting off her own body and the Fed wasn't getting none of the money. Let's keep it simple. I don't think that this is an appropriate situation to simplify. I believe it is a situation that you wait, you get a lot of the information. We can only report it as it happened. Maybe Mandy asked for her release. Maybe WWE gave her an appropriate out. Maybe it was mutual. Like that, a lot of that information is not available as of yet. And I'm sure that it will be. We'll work to get it. But as of now, she's released. She's done with the company, and that's it. And she'll be a free agent soon, but she can sell her exclusive content website, and she is going to be just fine. What else you got, Jimmy?
Okay, Tony Khan to Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So I want to first start with a recap of events quickly, and you can tell me if I have any details incorrect. A lot of people, when word got out that Ring of Honor TV is going to be an Honor Club, a lot of people were shitting on Tony Khan and saying it was a failure. And I just want to kind of explain a recap of events. I'm not, people are going to call me a homer. That's bullshit. This is just strictly facts, but I want to explain it. So he buys the assets of Ring of Honor from Sinclair Broadcasting back in March. When it happened at the time, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, it was kind of a rush deal because he had heard that WWE was interested in acquiring the tape library. So he kind of jumped in to get it first. And because it was kind of a rush deal, obviously he didn't have television lined up for it at the time. Sure. I mean, that's fair, right? It was kind of a rush deal, right?
That's from what I understand. Yes. He swooped in and got it. Yeah.
If I'm Tony Khan, I would have done exactly what he did. I would have acquired the Ring of Honor assets before WWE could get to it for a couple of reasons. One is WWE gets it. They're just making their tape library that much stronger, and they're going to make AEW's prospective streaming service that much weaker by not having it.
It is a gigantic benefit for AEW's eventual service.
For sure. And on top of that, they got a bunch of talent that started in Ring of Honor, or they have Ring of Honor roots. You can use that footage. Then in addition to that, Tony Khan, he has an emotional attachment to the brand, which he's talked about. He was a big Ring of Honor fan.
Yeah.
So I understand why he did it. But here was the problem. Okay, so now he acquires this brand and he doesn't have Ring of Honor TV. What are you going to do? Well, I got a time slot on TNT and I got a time slot on TBS. So I might as well use that to bring exposure to the brand for a prospective television partner. And I also got this guy named Chris Jericho. Television executives, they don't know a lot of the names on my roster, but they know Chris Jericho. So I'm going to make him the champion in order to get further exposure under the Ring of Honor brand.
Important to note, he got the rights to All In this deal as well.
Right.
ROH owned All In.
Right. So I understand why he put Ring of Honor on AEW TV. Here's where he ran into a few issues. I think the first one was he had contracted talent earmarked for Ring of Honor. And without a TV time slot, those guys are twiddling their thumbs. So he decided we got to get them their reps and put them on TV. But all of a sudden, every segment and every match had a belt. Either an AEW belt or a Ring of Honor belt, and that tarnishes the value of your titles. And Tony Khan, I think, heard that criticism, decided to pull back a bit of the Ring of Honor content, but now you're kind of pigeonholed because you don't have a TV deal yet. You don't want to put everybody on AEW television. So what are you going to do? You're going to do YouTube, or you're going to decide, you know what, let's put the brakes on Ring of Honor for a while, which he's not going to do. Mm-hmm. The only other thing you could do is a streaming service like Honor Club. There's nothing else I don't think at this stage you could have done. And so I think that's why he did it. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, this is a failure because no one is going to spend $9.99 a month for Ring of Honor television. Hopefully for them, it's a temporary solution, but that's how it came together. I don't consider it a failure. I consider it a necessary measure at this point.
And again, this is me operating on what we know as of now. So, I mean, there's information that we can gain in the coming days and weeks that'll change my opinion. But to me, one of the things about ROH that was beneficial to them before the sale was a broadcast company owned them. And in addition to them having very wide syndication, they also put the show up for free on Fight and their own website every single week. Everybody could watch ROH. So to me, I look at that and I see Dark and Elevation on YouTube. I think you should get people in the door on YouTube or free to some capacity. And Honor Club should be the library and selling the pay-per-views for $9.99 each, because I like the method of expand the eyeballs as opposed to, well, we're going to get significantly less, but they're going to pay like $30-$40 for it. I like that method, and it's a more progressive method. However, I don't know what the long-term thing for this is. I don't know if like maybe New Japan content pops up on Honor Club as well.
Right.
To me, it's very smart for them to restart Honor Club for a specific reason, and that is because they have the framework, and whenever they want to, it goes from ROH Honor Club to AEW Honor Club, and they have the infrastructure and the setup, and they have the method, and it's getting done before their next TV rights deal, which I think is very important, because their pay-per-view and wherever the hell that pay-per-view is sold is probably going to be integrated into their rights fee deal, because obviously ideally, they wouldn't be selling it just on Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report sucks, but because of their connection to Warner Media,
yeah,
that's how they're able to do that. So now they're going to have a little bit more leverage there, and they can say, well, you know, we can put our own pay-per-views on Honor Club if we want. Like, we have the infrastructure to do that. We can do that if we want, and we can keep that and not necessarily negotiate that into the rights fee deal. But if I were them, I would, you know, I would make good with New Japan as well. There's a whole lot of stuff going on between IWTV and the new Premier streaming network and Fight Plus. There are a lot of players in the game right now, like AIW and Black Label Pro and Wrestling Revolver. A lot of these top indies, GCW, Found Homes, Beyond, and all that stuff. So when you're ROH, AEW, well, you've got AEW, you've got ROH, you have a connection to New Japan. Maybe you can work something out with AAA. That would be kind of cool too. I think that there are a lot of potential. There's a lot of potential here. But as far as just getting people in the door, oh man, I really look at that and I'm like, damn, I do wish that they would have made it easier for people to get in the door on ROH, a show that's kind of tough to get into anyway.
Yeah, it is. And you know, part of the problem too is how much money do they want to, you know, let this thing bleed? Because you're going to have the production costs, you're going to have the contracts for the talent that are on the show. There's going to be a lot of money at the door before you see, you know, dollar one back. Something else I'd like to know, and I wonder if you can find this out. I wonder if Tony had a harder time finding TV than he thought, because sure, maybe networks looked at Ring of Honor and they thought, well, Sinclair basically waved the white flag on it. They basically sold it off pennies on the dollar. And so why should I invest in a supposed throwaway brand? I wonder if that was a roadblock that he ran into.
But the thing with Sinclair is it's such a categorically different business model, because what they did was that they had a very cheap, all things considered, wrestling company to help boost their syndication numbers and a lot of stuff like that. And it is a proven commodity on syndication. So, I mean, that is such a unique business plan that they had in general. We've got a bunch of super chats to wrap up, but you know, it's kind of important that we tell you this, guys. NordVPN.com/Fightful is the fastest VPN in the world. It works on all your devices, your phone, your laptop, your desktop, your PC. It blocks online trackers, blocks annoying pop-up ads and malware. And you can change your virtual location with just one click. Maybe you want to buy pay-per-views at a much more affordable price. NordVPN.com/Fightful makes that a reality, whether it be UFC, AEW, WWE, whatever. Maybe you missed that old WWE network interface. NordVPN.com/Fightful has you covered. And it's covered on all of your devices with one subscription. NordVPN.com/Fightful. In addition to a great deal, you get 4 additional months free. If you buy pay-per-views like I do about that UFC 282 pay-per-view, I would have felt some real regret after the co-main event and main event if I had paid full price for that. But I got it at a great price thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. This service ends up paying for itself almost immediately. Then you save a ton of money after that. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Our good friends. They are so good to us. So excited to continue working with them throughout 2023. Darren says, could we see a Briscoe's Bucks match this year? Could Briscoe's wrestle on an AEW pay-per-view as a mystery team to face the Bucks? I don't see why they couldn't, since they're on Warner pay-per-view already with ROH. I don't see why they couldn't. I don't think it'll happen on TV. I think at this point they probably should let the Briscoes on pay-per-view or on TV, though. I think it's time.
So I apologize for doing this, but someone keeps ringing my doorbell. And so
I got you. You'll hear from Jimmy next week. Broadway Joe says, the saddest part of this whole Sasha Mandy thing is how plug and play WWE has become. We need individual stars back to leverage higher salaries. I think you're more likely to see that now than you were before Triple H came along. I think Triple H came up in a time that valued marquee stars and understood that those marquee stars individually increased the value of the brand as well. Joel Wood says, I have a feeling she'll be back within the next 6 months, but best of luck to Mandy and what she does. Absolutely. If you want to support her, I encourage you guys to do that. Support everybody that opts to do that and to the level in which you feel comfortable doing. Kieran George says a bit late, but wanted to know what Jimmy thought of the Ricky Starks promo from last week. Oh no, Kieran, I'm so sorry. If he comes back, I'll ask him. Oh no. Oh no. Chris says favoritism in WWE with Woods, Randy, Riddle, Mandy. Listen, Woods was victimized, man. Like, Woods was absolutely victimized, and that's not an appropriate thing. The Riddle stuff, I mean, him being in rehab and all that, like, you can talk about, I can't really speak to what did or didn't happen about the controversies around him because, you know, from a legal perspective, we don't know what didn't happen. But from a drug perspective and all that stuff, you want people to get the help that you need. Hope that improves, but there are definitely, these are completely different circumstances. I don't think it's fair to compare Orton, Woods, Mandy. Like, we don't need a comparison to a lot of that stuff. And there is no perhaps perfect comparison there as well. Kieran says, not a problem. Love the content. Look, like Jimmy's thing is still set up. Hey, Jimmy, what'd you think of the Ricky Starks promo? Oh, man. Oh, I just saw something shake. He's walking back. Okay, here we go. He's back here. We're going to get the word. Sharks Freely says, is there any positives to Vince returning to WWE? None that I've heard. Absolutely none that I've heard. Jimmy, Kieran George, as we wrap up, asked what your thoughts on the Ricky Starks promo were last week.
It was actually really good, and I was going to ask you a question about it. Do you know how much of that was improvised or scripted?
I think he had a lot of it like in his head that he wanted to say, but I believe it was like sort of improvised, sort of like a freestyle rap. You know, you like have an idea of what you're going to say, but I know that you do a lot of freestyle rapping, so.
That's how I spent all my days off, yeah. So I know that there have been comparisons in the past somewhat to, like, say, Ricky Starks and The Rock. In terms of look and whatnot, but he, I thought, was great when he really gave it to MJF, and I can't remember verbatim what he said anymore, but he basically said, you look like whatever, something, an ass or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had one respected veteran. It's like, why would you go out there and say Dollar Store Rock? It's true. And I'm like, well, it doesn't matter because Ricky Starks is confident in his ability to give it right back to MJF, and MJF was also very confident in Ricky Starks' ability to come right back at him. Like, right. MJF is not going to bury somebody on the mic and to promote a match that he doesn't think is going to give it back to him. So
Jericho told a story a long time ago when he first got to WWE, and Jericho, you know, he was still kind of new in that world. He would say really negative things about his opponents. Mm-hmm. And somebody pulled Jericho aside. It might've been Vince or Pat Patterson. And they basically said, if you're going to shit on your opponent like that, then why is anybody going to watch the match? Because now you're telling them that your opponent's shit and they're not worth watching.
Yeah.
And I always kind of remember that. And I agree with you. It's one thing for MJF to kind of criticize or be negative about his opponent that makes his opponent look like shit. But if you can give it back to him, then it's all right. Then you got that give and take. So you don't end up with a Roman Reigns standing there befuddled when John Cena is going to town on you.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So no, I thought it was a great moment for Starks. There's no chance he's beating MJF.
Yeah.
But it was a great moment for him, and hopefully he can springboard, despite probably losing, hopefully he can springboard that into something else.
We have a few more super chats still. Reminder, we are on Fightful Select right after this for The List Goes On. I'm going to talk about that Shawn Michaels KO pitch, but I am right back here tonight on the post AEW show. You can get your Humper Chats in at humperchats.com. But Joel says, do you think there's actually a scenario in which Vince returns to WWE? I'd put it at about a 20% chance because anything is possible. But I think that it is a very much an addition by subtraction situation. Things are objectively better in almost all facets without Vince McMahon around.
So I could see his name appear on the ballot the next time they do the board elections.
Yeah.
I can see that. You know, once a year they send that out. I could see Vince McMahon's name appear on the board ballot. I don't see him ever becoming chairman or CEO or head of creative again. But yeah. Board member, sure.
Nicholas says, wait, why are people comparing Mandy and Randy? Beats me. Goki says, any news on The Rock wrestling at Mania? WWE wants him to wrestle at Mania. They very much want him to, but I have no like significant, like, this is absolutely happening. But yes, they 100% want him. Sorry, I can't give you more, but obviously they want him. The match that they want is Rock versus Roman Reigns. That is the match. But Brandon Joseph says, Warner also might not have been open a new deal for ROH with the new AEW TV deal coming up. Might be a temporary solution until they negotiate the deals together as a package. That is also true. Look at WWE. They went to USA and they said, hey, let's work this NXT deal into our package. And then we're going to have all these deals come up concurrently. That way we can sell them together as a package as well. I think that's absolutely possible.
This is actually something I forgot to mention earlier. Warner Brothers has been in cost-cutting mode.
Yeah.
Ever since the merger with Discovery. And now there's all these rumors that they're going to cut away at the DC Universe in terms of the movie budgets. So that could have played a hand in it too. It could have been Warner Brothers saying, we don't want to earmark that money for Ring of Honor. And I think there is a lot of uncertainty about the Ring of Honor brand. And so that all probably came together as well.
Guys, big thanks to you guys. YouTube's been screwing with our algorithm for months since the switch to the live tabs. And this past week, it has returned to normal. And it makes me very, very happy because I was very concerned for a while. But we worked with YouTube and I exhausted the resources there. And they finally say that they've got it fixed. And Ryan says, can you confirm the WrestleVotes report that Triple H feels like some of the talent have been rehired have underperformed? No, I can't confirm that. And in fact, I got some conflicting stuff about that. I like WrestleVotes. They typically have good news. But I mean, I also have to do my own due diligence on things like that. But I've got some insight on that.
Let's just add one thing to that. So forget about WrestleVotes, but let's look at the performers that Hunter brought back. With the exception of Braun Strowman, who's had a decent run, I think, and Bray Wyatt, who was over, you know, when he left, he's over now. With the exception of those two guys, how do you think the talent, you know, has been received that Hunter brought back? And I think creative has been a big problem with it. But how do you think they've been received? Karrion Kross, Hit Row, Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae, Dexter Lumis. How do you think that they have been received?
Candice has been eating a bunch of L's. Miz and Lumis and Johnny are in a never-ending storyline. Hit Row is used sometimes. Karrion Kross was immediately pushed near the top, then pushed down. Braun, that's a situation of his own doing. That's at his own. Bray has not wrestled. I've forgotten that he's around a lot of times. A lot of it is creative. I don't think that that's on him.
I agree. I mean, the only one where I looked at and I thought, you know, there's two, I guess, where I looked at and I thought, you know, they need to do better. Karrion Kross, I thought him and Drew McIntyre wasn't that great. Candice LeRae, she looks nervous to me, quite frankly. Like when she goes out there on Raw, she looks nervous to me. Otherwise, I think it's strictly matter of fact, I think Gargano has done well with what he's been handed.
I think he's doing as good as he can, yeah.
Yeah, because he has shown a personality and he's shown a sense of humor and he's shown an ability to improvise. So I think that he's done well with these been handed. But I agree. I think creative with all of those people has been a real problem since they all came back.
Justice says, any word on where ROH will be filmed? I believe it's going to be at Universal, but no confirmation on that. Provide 24/7 says, Impact refused to pay for Brock. No excuses for Mandy Rose. I don't understand the comment there. Sorry about that.
I mean, you're right. Impact Wrestling refuses to pay for Brock Lesnar.
Yeah,
absolutely.
R. Harris says, what do you think this means to the rest of Toxic Attraction? R. Harris, I think they're going to come up soon. I don't think there's anything left for them to do in NXT. I think that JC Jane and Gigi Dolan have shown that they fit right in with the main roster with or without Mandy Rose. In fact, oftentimes, when I think of those two, I think of them completely separate of Mandy Rose, like they're on an island of their own. And I think that they've made great impressions. Miguel Ortiz says, Honor Club turning into All Elite Honor, AEW and ROH library, AEW pay-per-views, current vlogs would be huge for Tony. Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, a lot of those vlogs also are a get in the door thing. But if you wanted to collect them and do like a best of vlogs of the week, I think that would be very, very cool as well. Oh man, this was a longer show than we usually do, and we're heading over to Fightful Select for The List Goes On. Again, I mentioned a little bit earlier about the algorithm and the way that that's been affecting us lately. Thank you guys so much. You guys tuned in droves today. Our super chats are back up to normal. We have so much content on Fightful. Dropped an Ethan Page interview today. Danny Limelight with Grapsity yesterday. Switchblade Jay White does not do a lot of wrestling interviews, talked to him this past weekend. Carmelo Hayes, Shaza McKenzie, Billy Starks, Dax Harwood, Santino Marella. We've got tons of them this weekend. Willow Nightingale. What, Jimmy?
My daughter just came in.
Oh, yeah?
Wanted to bring me something that she did at a, what was it? Oh, my goodness. She had a school, what do you call it? A school outing?
Yeah.
Field trip.
Oh, look at that.
They made clay animals. And
that
I
is
tried
talent.
I tried to get her on camera for a second, but she's a little bit shy.
Oh,
but,
that's talent right there.
Very nice. Very nice, baby.
Head over to FightfulSelect.com. We're talking about this Shawn Michaels, Kevin Owens pitch. Mr. CJ Lilly says, Sonya replaced Mandy in Toxic Attraction. That sounds like a dope idea, honestly. If there's going to be one replacement, it should be Sonya. Guys, until next time, we're out.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.